Good morning. My name is Latia Bozeman. I'm with the Division of Diabetes Translation with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I would like to invite you and thank you for the Integrating Vision Health into Healthy Aging, a joint session with the Aging and Public Health section. As you all know, vision impairment is a serious health concern among older adults that affects millions of people worldwide. Healthy People 2010 and 2020 call for improving the vision health of the U.S. population through prevention, early detection, treatment, and rehabilitation. Today, the objectives for our session is to demonstrate the importance of eye health promotion and vision loss prevention in achieving healthy aging, assess the current status of vision health among older adults nationally and internationally, identify modifiable barriers in assessing eye care services among older adults. Today we have a panel of distinguished presenters, and I'd like to introduce each one of them. And just for some logistics, we will save the questions to the end because we have five speakers, so we want to give each one of them an opportunity to tell us all of their good news about vision and aging. Our first speaker is Dr. Cynthia Stewen. She's a Senior Vice President of Policy and Evaluation at Lighthouse International. She oversees the Arlene R. Gorgon Research Institute, the Center for Education, and advocates for policy at the national, state, and local levels, while also maintaining involvement in international efforts to preserve sight and prevent excess disability resulting from vision impairment. Dr. Stewen is the principal investigator on a 3-year Agency for Healthcare Resource and Quality grant, creating an evidence base for vision rehabilitation. Dr. Stewen is chair-elect of the American Society on Aging, the largest organization of professionals in the field in the U.S. She was awarded the ASA Leadership Award in 2005. And also, I feel funny introducing her so formally because I also consider her to be a colleague and a friend, so I'm so happy that she's here with us today. Our next speaker is Rebecca Lindberger. Rebecca received her master's degree in public health from the University of Michigan in 2009. Since graduating, she has worked at the university as a research area specialist. Her research interests include driving cessation, racial and ethnic health disparities, and quality of life concerns among chronically ill adults. Our next speaker will be Dr. Jeff Weaver. He is the executive director for the Board of Optometry, and he's faculty at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Then we have Mr. Thomas Rubin. He received a Bachelor's of Science in Chemical Engineering from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 2006. He is currently a doctor, a MD, PhD, candidate at the University of Illinois at Chicago. He recently obtained his PhD in the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Genetics with emphasis on enzymology and structural biology, and his clinical interests are in ophthalmology. Our next speaker is Dr. Christy Poo. She's assistant professor at the National Yang Ming University. Her research interests include health disparities and health economics. So I'd like to welcome Cynthia to the podium, and please save your questions to the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Latia, and I have nothing to disclose. I want to start off today just by setting the stage of what are the normal changes that happen as we age, because as I'll point out as we go along, I think a lot of times older persons, as well as older professionals serving older persons, get them confused. And we think it's just part of aging that we're having problems with our vision. Some of that is true, but not all of it's true. And I hope by the end of my presentation today, you're better informed and better educated about what are the normal and what are the not normal changes for persons as we age. First of all, the normal changes to our eyes are there's a reduction in the amount and the quality of light entering the eye. So when you just don't have as much light coming in, you're not as efficient, okay? There's a decrease in the film or tearing, which sometimes people very quickly resolve with an over-the-counter medication for dry eyes. Other people have other problems, and it might be excessive tearing, but that's another issue. There's corneal sensitivity and light scatter. Again, it's just, you know, there's a term for our aging eyes called presbyopia. That usually means, you know, the distance for our focusing distance changes, which is why if we don't get reading glasses somewhere in our midlife, oftentimes the arms are stretching out. That's just part of that aging eye presbyopia. The lens hardens and yellows. Our medical director emerita, Eleanor Fay, at Lighthouse International, said, you know, the good news is you're going to live a long life. The bad news is you are probably going to get a cataract. And so living a long life, most of us will probably encounter having a cataract extraction. Vitreous changes, that's the fluid in the back of the eye there. Not uncommon for some floaters to be seen as we age. Again, nothing to be alarmed about, although always tell your eye doctor about any changes in your eye. And then slower adaptation to light and dark. Think of yourself going to a matinee movie and coming out, and as we age, it just takes a little bit longer to adjust to the bright sunlight, or walking into that theater from the bright sunlight into the very dark just takes us a little longer. Nothing that we can't adapt to and accommodate to. Slides like this, I'm not going to dwell on the aging of the population, except because we're all very aware of it. But what we see with the change in the demographic is, of course, with the aging of the baby boomers. And the first baby boomers are now just beginning to retire, those born between 1946 and 1954. So hence, you see the big thrust in increase, dramatic increase, in the 65 and older population. And if you think about that, those turning 65 now aging in the next 20 years, they're the 85 and older population, which shows you the big bulk down below as well. Dramatic increase going from 1900 and the projections then for the 85 and older population as well as the 65 and older. In fact, you probably can't listen to any of the debate about our budget deficit without talking about 65 and older population, what its Social Security, what its Medicare, all of the implications of our aging population. However, I think Bob Butler, in his book on the longevity revolution, really set the stage to say, why are we not celebrating the fact that we have a population that is living longer and actually staying healthier for more longer period of time? At least that's our goal in public health, is keeping people healthy, active as long as we can, and that period decline of disabling conditions being the shortest possible time at the very end of life. So just a few statistics about older adults and vision loss from our own CDC. And you have to know that there's a behavioral risk factor surveillance database that I believe it's 21 states, am I correct, John? 21 states have the additional vision component. New York State just did its a few years ago. You can add on to the BRFSS, the vision data, and so there's a new publication out from CDC on vision and aging that I would commend to you. It's on their website that really gives some really good data very concisely. But for persons 65 and older, making up 12.8% of the U.S. population, but account for 30% of all visually impaired persons. Persons 80 and over make up about 8% of the U.S. population and account for 69% of those who are blind. Back in 1995, Lighthouse International engaged a very large population-based survey of middle-aged and older Americans that we engaged Harris Associates to conduct in the 48 contiguous states. And that was a telephone interview, so these are self-reported data. But among the population 45 and older, 17% self-reported a problem with their vision. And this was while wearing their best eyeglass prescription or their contact lenses. And if you look here at the jump to the 75 and older was well over 1 in 4 persons. Okay. What was probably more amazing to us was in this survey was the percentage of Americans unaware of local services for persons with vision impairment. Now, among the total group, 35%, this is people, the whole survey, but among the non-impaired, 35%, the moderately visually impaired, 30%, but most astounding, among the severely visually impaired, 42% were unaware that there were services available to enable them to function more independently. Why the inattention to vision loss? And again, I think sometimes it's confused with, well, we're aging, we're getting older, and some of those normal changes are happening. So it's accepted. That's also because not one size fits all. There are different kinds of vision impairment that affect older persons. And so not everybody has the exact same thing. It's not like breaking your hip, right? I also think it's not linked to function. I think we are too disease specific, and that's kind of the way our health insurance system has been designed to reimburse for a disease. So we haven't focused on what's functional. What can you do? When people come into our services at Lighthouse International, it really is, what is it you want to do that your vision is in its current state is not allowing you to do? And I have to say, sometimes our ophthalmologists, optometrists are the biggest culprits, and in other times I will defend them because they have told the patient nothing more can be done. And what they convey is there's nothing more I can do for you surgically, medically. I can't put a pair of glasses on you that it's going to make you see better. But then that's the point of referral for low vision and other vision rehabilitation services. And that sometimes the patient isn't ready to hear. So in their defense, they may give that message, but it's not heard at the time. The average length of time somebody might wait to get services is 7 years. Not a good system. And I would suggest that those of us in the baby boom cohort and the rest of the cohorts coming after us will be a little more aggressive about seeking help when we can't see very well. So what is low vision? Well, low vision is a loss of visual function that cannot be corrected by standard eyeglasses, contact lenses, medication, or surgery. It can be due to an inherited eye disease, an acquired condition. Some people are born with an eye condition. Trauma. We're seeing a lot more trauma from our returning war veterans. And as people said, you know, in years past, wars past, people didn't survive. Now they're surviving, and with traumatic brain injury often comes, of course, vision impairment. There are any number of reasons, and of course, besides trauma, accidents, et cetera, that happen. But legal blindness, ever since I entered this field of vision rehabilitation in 1987, I've always wondered what illegal blindness was. But hopefully, it's a way that people define, really, regulatory-wise, to enable people for benefits. Okay, and you must meet the legal blindness criteria, which is set by every state. Most states will set that definition as the old 20/200 or worse in your better eye, or a less than 20 degree or less field of vision. So low vision may be legal blindness, but it may not be, and that often is the vast group of older persons who are beginning to experience the age-related eye conditions that I'm now going to go over for you. I'm going to cover four of the major ones today: age-related macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, glaucoma, and cataracts. And again, each affect your vision differently. Well, what is macular degeneration, AMD? Well, there are two types, by the way. There's the dry and the wet form. But it's a deterioration of the macula, which is the very back center portion of your retina, the very back of the retina, which we use for fine detail vision, and I'll show you that in a minute. The wet form, there's a lot going on in the literature, controlled studies, actually. NEI just did one of Avastin versus Lucentis, the first time two drugs went up against each other on the wet form. These are injections into the eye to decrease the abnormal blood vessel growth, and which deteriorates, and that's showing some marked improvement. But time is of the essence. This is the number one cause of vision impairment for people over the age of 55 in the United States, and of course with the aging population. On the lower right hand, you're going to see an Amsler grid that's distorted, described by somebody with AMD. And on the eye chart, what you see is just the blob right in the center. It's wherever you're looking. Your fine detail vision, you try to read a word, that's where that age-related macular degeneration causes you to lose your vision. Also, you lose contrast sensitivity and decrease color perception. So they do, of course, lead to problems with your daily living. On the upper right-hand side here, somebody with AMD, this is what a sentence might look like to them, where you just lose component parts of the words. So you have to learn new ways of learning to read or have an alternate method. So the number one complaint for people with AMD is reading, the inability to read. Also, you can imagine socially, if you come up to somebody and you look at their face and all you see is the outline of maybe their hair, you can't see their face, you often don't know who you're talking to. So it really creates some functional things. Also, just looking at the reduced contrast sensitivity in the lower area here, an all-white plate on an all-white tablecloth doesn't provide you with much contrast, as well as some of the practicalities for distance vision in looking at stairs, sidewalks, road signs, etc. The prevalence of diabetes, I can actually probably skip over this because everybody at this conference knows that we have a really major problem, and the highest comorbidity with diabetes is retinopathy, and that is where those blood vessels in the eye do deteriorate and cause you a problem to see. The damaged vessels can be sealed off with laser surgery. Wherever you do laser surgery, there's a scar. You don't see through a scar. This is the number one cause of vision impairment in the working age population. And with the obesity epidemic, we know that's increasing. Again, blurred, distorted vision, they're basically those scotomas, those spots can be very blotchy all over your field of view. With uncontrolled diabetes, you indeed can become totally blind to diabetes. Glaucoma, a progressive damage to the optic nerve. If you just think about your field of view as being 180 degrees, and every morning you get up, you should put your arms out and wiggle your fingers looking straight ahead to see that you can see those fingers moving. That's one of the easiest ways, because they call it the silent thief of sight. No pain. You do not know you have glaucoma. I'm here to testify. I did not know I had it, and I've never had a high attention test. I have a condition, low tension glaucoma. You will not know that unless you go to your eye doctor and it's examined. But you can have severe damage that slowly constricts your field of view. And indeed, uncontrolled can also lead to blindness. The last is cataract. The good news is, 96% of cataracts can be extracted, usually an intraocular lens implant, and you usually see better than you did before you went in. That's the good news. But there's a small number of people who are unable to have cataract surgery and are functionally impaired and would still need services. One of the things that begins with cataracts is the diminished contrast, which is a real safety hazard. We all know that falls, major issue for older persons here. Also, glaring light is very difficult for people. So what's the solution? Vision rehabilitation usually begins for those with a low vision examination, may refer then for independent living skills, orientation and mobility, counseling, and then working age, career, technology services. There's a lot. What's the difference between a regular eye exam and a low vision exam? They take a lot longer to do, let me tell you, but they're really focused on function. What do you want to be able to do, and how can we help you do it better? How can we find what part of vision you still have remaining that we can help you learn to use? There's a variety, plethora of devices that can be prescribed that help people, whether they be a handheld magnifier, a stand magnifier, absorptive lenses for outdoor wear that help control the glare, electronic. Some of them are now wallet size that you can carry with you to the grocery store to read labels on cans. Variety of those. Also, whether it be occupational therapists or vision rehabilitation therapists, will help you learn to manage your household, your workplace, your business, your personal matters, as well as the orientation mobility. I'd be remiss if I just didn't mention depression is very high for people with impaired vision. Very important that counseling be considered. And sometimes that becomes the first service that needs to be offered to enable people. Lastly, what do? You need to screen people in the community. I've brought with me the Lighthouse 15-item functional vision screening questionnaire. I'll upload it to the website, but I have copies here for you. And there's also, so in summary, educate. You started that process with yourself today, but educate your staff. And the NEHAP, National Eye Health Education Program, has a tool for you. I'll pass that out. So screen and refer. Thank you.